So I'm sure by now that you figured that out, that what our message series is called I Love My Church. Some of you have felt that way for a long time, and again, that we would clarify the church is not a building, but it is that group of Christ followers that gather together to celebrate what Christ has done in our lives, the hope that he provides for us. Some of you have loved this body of believers for a long time, long before I got here, long before some of the rest of us got here. But some of you are finding out. You're finding the value and the joy of being a part of a church family. You're finding that playing a role in the ministry of the local church serves a purpose that's even greater than your own personal agendas and your own aspirations. We're wired. I mean, I just believe that we are wired and we have an emotional need to belong, to affiliate, to gain acceptance. People want to live connected and live in community. And a lot of people want to give their lives to something that makes a difference, that makes a difference in people's lives. That's why people join the Chamber of Commerce. That's why people join the Lions Club and the Rotary and the VFW and the PTA. Somebody need to get that? And when people throw in and get engaged in community, they want to do that with people that are real and genuine and authentic. No fakes, no pretending. But in ministry, in the local church, the stakes are so much higher. What we do is about forever. And those of us that have crossed the line of belief, that have moved into our own growing relationship with Jesus Christ, we understand that one of the things that we're asked to do is to give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Because the eternal destiny of a people hangs in the balance that still live far from him. And sometimes we lose sight of engaging in the life and ministry of the local church and the potential that it has. Sometimes we forget about the men and women, boys and girls that could experience immediate life change when they personally experience God's saving grace. My life changed as a child. At a very young age, when I recognized the need of a Savior, that I recognized that my own hope for having a right standing with God and the hope of eternal life couldn't be based on my performance, that I needed a Savior. And then people can find, as they live in a relationship with Jesus Christ, with this newfound hope of eternal life, it can help us cope. It can help us cope with the realities of everyday ordinary life. When we come together, when we partner, when we feel like we belong, when we serve, where we can give to something so much bigger, so much eternally important, what we find is over and over, it's statistically proven that people who get engaged, in ministry, are people that also move along in their own spiritual development, move along in their own trust of Jesus Christ. And God wants us, he wants us to develop our loving and serving skills. And so you know what that requires? We talked about this last week. It requires you have to be around people. It requires that we have to be around people that loving and serving can't be done in isolation. And so that means we have to be around people like us that sometimes can be irritating and frustrating and imperfect. But that's what ministry is all about. It's people connecting with people. And the risk of engaging in ministry is this. It can be messy. You know why? Because life is messy for a lot of people. Last week I mentioned that sometimes we have the idea that for God to be able to use any of us, we have this idea that you have to be some kind of spiritual superhero. Now, some of us had our own favorite superhero when we were growing up. But if you look in the dictionary about the definition of a superhero, you'll find what it first says is it's a fictional character. And sometimes I think even if we're not aware of it, maybe we've forgotten that God has graced all of us with a special supernatural gift that He wants us to use to serve and to love others inside the household of faith and outside the household of faith. That's how God has shaped you. He designed you that you would find a place of incredible fulfillment in serving Him and serving others. Let's pick up this morning again back in Romans chapter 12. If you want to follow along, if you have a Bible, there may be one in the rack under the chair in front of you or the scriptures on the screen. But let's go back to Romans chapter 12 this morning, beginning in verses 4 and 5. It says this. Well, it says in verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace that's given to each of us. And one of the things that it says in verses 4 and 5 in the preceding verses, it says that just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now, what we know about this physical body, you know, when we think about all the different parts, I mean, some of the obvious things about, we talked about this last week, like our eyes and ears, a mouth and nose and fingers, arms, elbows, shoulders, legs, knees, ankles, feet and toes. Did you know there are 206 bones that comprise the skeletal system? There are tendons, ligaments, muscles. We have our skeletal system, our digestive system, our circulatory system, our nervous system, not to mention all the internal organs, and all of them play an important role in our health, our well-being. None of them perform the same function, but they're all interdependent. And as we begin to look at this list of gifts, the list is not an exhaustive list, but it is a list that gives us an idea that God has given all of us like a special commissioning. No gift is greater than the other. And all of us have a role to play, an important role with this gift that God graces us with. And sometimes we have one more than one that's more dominant than the other. But our gifts are not earned. They're not to be sought. They are just a gift of God's grace. So we pick up in verse 6, maybe we can move on to this. And so notice what it says. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. And then he goes on to say, if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Now, often when you look at a list like this, that often one of the things we can say is, oh, I can see that so-and-so and so-and-so and so, they have this gift and they have gift. And sometimes it's easier sometimes to see somebody else's gift than our own. And there are times in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ, we find ourselves serving in ways and places where we're not the most gifted, but the reason we do it is to show genuine love and to demonstrate that servant heart that Jesus demonstrated for us. Each of us has been given a gift by God's grace. And last week I mentioned it's kind of in that bundle of things that we get when we cross the line of belief and move into our growing relationship with Jesus Christ. When you make that decision, that important step of faith to put your trust in Jesus Christ for the hope of eternal life, the absolute and complete forgiveness of your sin, in that bundle of things that happens, when you cross the line of belief, your name is written in the book of life. Your sins are completely and absolutely covered and forgiven. Your eternal destiny is secured. You become a child of God. You become a part of His forever family. You pass from death to life. And then one of the things that happened is we are equipped with the gift of His grace that's to be used in ministry, in love, to serve others. Now, the same person who writes about this list of gifts, and there's other places that you'll find other lists of gifts, and again, all of them are not an exhaustive list. But one of the things that Paul would suggest as he writes in another letter called 1 Corinthians, notice what he says. He says there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of all of them. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. And then he goes on to say, God works in different ways, but is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us. Notice what he says, so we can help each other. One of Jesus' disciples, his name was Peter, in the back of the New Testament, the thing he suggests is that each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful servants of God's grace in its various forms. As we learn to serve anywhere, anytime, following the example of our Savior, we begin to discover that there are places where we serve and things and the way that we serve where we begin to feel more fulfilled, really motivated to serve. It comes much easier for us. And that's why we get back to verse 6, where he says in Romans 12 that we have different gifts according to the grace given us. And then you find that long list. And the list begins with the gift of prophecy. And real quickly, I'm just going to cover real quickly where we rushed through last week. But just so you know it's different from the Old Testament, the gift of prophecy. It's not about predictions of supernatural or mystical happenings, but it's about someone speaking forth, about someone proclaiming the word of God, someone who admonishes, who warns, who rebukes, corrects, challenges, comforts, encourages. A person with the gift of prophecy has a motivation to apply the word of God to real life situations. The person with this gift is often viewed and characterized sometimes as judgmental because they're troubled by what the Bible teaches to be sin. People with this gift are often seen, considered by others as outspoken and sometimes brash because they just tell it like it is. They're confident in their use of Scripture because they regard the Bible as the source of truth. They accept absolutes easily, while other people are trying to wordsmith and find nuances and new enlightenment to explain away and excuse the way people behave. The person with the gift of prophecy looks at the Bible, defines things that are sinful, not beneficial. They don't mince words. They're direct. They're deliberate. This gift comes with a deep capacity to trust God because what God has promised. This gift has the attitude, if it's right, do it. They trust God for the outcome because it's His responsibility. The next one in the list is the gift of serving. The gift of serving is just this. Let's go to the next slide there. It's somebody that's driven to demonstrate love by meeting practical needs. I like to talk about this gift a lot because I love to watch people that have this gift specifically. It's manifested this way. In every sort of practical help that Christians can give one another in Jesus' name, the person that has this gift of serving is available to see a project through to the end and enjoys doing physical work. The person with the gift of serving expresses themselves most satisfying by doing tangible things. Those with this gift of serving, they do things, they just do it, not by explaining or teaching or discussing or giving or organizing. They just want to get busy. They just want to get at the task. We'll call these people servers. Servers prefer short-term projects. And the reason is their spiritual fulfillment comes in completing a task. They like projects that have a beginning and an ending. They'll often volunteer to serve in church-related or group-related projects because they are the people you can absolutely count on who'll still be around at the end of the project to make sure it's complete. Here's the thing that you'll find about people with the gift of serving. They would rather carry out the responsibilities by themselves rather than assigning the project to someone else. They're the ones who are washing dishes when everybody else has gone home. They're the ones putting up the chairs while everybody else is trying to crawl over you to get out. They're the ones who ask if they can carry or clean or deliver while everybody else is heading for their cars to head home. You know what about servers? Let me tell you about the people that have the gift of serving. They enjoy the party best if they're in the kitchen, if they're at the barbecue grill, if they're handing out the food, because while a lot of people want to be served, they find the greatest joy in serving. They tend to be one-person armies, and God seems to give them this special grace to do it with humility, especially when it comes to menial tasks. They're available. Their strongest quality is they never say no. But order is essential for these people. But they'll sacrifice it temporarily if it means to get the job done. They have this God-given strength to do physical tasks. And you'd better get out of their way when they're around. But when these people love their church, it comes so easy for them just to exercise their gift of serving. The next one in the list is the gift of teaching. Paul says, if that's your gift, then teach. And some of you say they're going, no, that's not my gift. I already know that one. But here's what I want you to know about the gift of teaching. Notice what I've got up here. A person with the gift of teaching is passionate about discovering and validating truth. A teacher is particularly concerned with the accuracy of information, especially when it comes to the absolutes about God's word, about church doctrine. Sometimes the person with this gift will never stand before a group or even lead or disperse information because they find more satisfaction from their research than they do presenting it and discovering it. A teacher instinctively questions. They want to make sure everything is accurate. They question what's inaccurate. Usually doubt motivates them to search out for answers so that they know the truth. The person with the gift of teaching gets all kinds of delight in uncovering facts and insights that others have overlooked or they don't find significant. They don't hesitate to challenge statements. They have excellent study habits, including orderly investigation, the ability to document information in an organized manner. The person with the gift of teaching solves problems by studying more. Teachers are known to faithfully study the Word of God because researching truth gives them great joy. And unlike the rest of a lot of people who work hard at setting aside time to study the Bible, a teacher often has to work hard to quit studying long enough to carry out the necessities of life. The next one he mentioned is the gift of encouragement. Some of you might see in the translation of your Bibles, it might say exhortation. And he says, if that's your gift to encourage, then encourage. It's kind of like the gift of counseling. And those who have this gift, you know what they love to do? They love to encourage. That's what they do. They just encourage and encourage and encourage. And people with this gift express their love. Guess how they express their love to other people? By just being available. Wise counsel just flows from people with this gift because they have this gift of encouragement. Those with this gift of encouragement understand and they take time to read and study the Bible, not just for information, but for transformation. They memorize Scripture, they meditate on Scripture because they find that this gift of encouragement, when they memorize and meditate on Scripture, it equips them to be able to draw from the well of wisdom so that they can share it with other people. They take away principles. They take away precepts from the Bible that so they can help other people and encourage them to grow in their spiritual life. The people, those with the gift of encouragement, what they see in life when other people face difficult things in their life, people with the gift of encouragement see it as an opportunity to grow because they know that God is in control. They realize that whatever happens has the potential for God to bring glory to Himself and for us to move along in our spiritual development. People with the gift of encouragement, they sympathize with suffering Christians, but they see the pain that they go through the lens of God's sovereignty rather than through the lens of suffering. And those with this gift see opportunities in trials so that they see it different from the way most people see it. And with the gift of encouragement, they kindly remind people about God's work in their life. Those with the gift of encouragement respond to problems. And one of the things with people with this gift, they're the people that would say, here's what you need to do. 1, 2, 3. They can order it out for you and help you move along and work your way through situations. They have specific steps of action. Their goal is to help make it easy, comprehensible, so people can understand it. And its potential, if they embrace it, to grow in their own relationship and grow through it, grow in the relationship with Jesus Christ, and grow so that they can use what God has brought them through to help others. And I look up at the clock, and I need to stop again. So I'm going to pick it up again next weekend. You're going, you ever going to get through this list? Yes, I will. I'll finish it next week. When we talk about the gift of giving, the gift of administration, the gift of mercy. And I don't know when I talk about this, if you just checked out and said, man, the Chiefs game will be on in a little bit. And all of a sudden you woke up again because of the Chiefs game. But maybe some of you this morning tuned in because you realized I was talking about you. I was talking about your gift. And you go, that's me. That's how I thrive. That's how I fit best. And some of you might have been just surprised to find out that's why you're motivated to do things a certain way and to respond to life different from others. Because that's exactly how God gifted you. That's how He shaped you to love and to serve others. And what happens is when I find my role and I find my place that God has gifted me for my place where I fit in the church that I love, then I realize And I begin to find a place to use that so that I can honor God. I can make myself available to love and serve others and hope others will decide that they might learn to trust God as well. And when I find where I'm shaped and where I can best do what God's gifted me to do, and I can do the others, and there are times I need to do that, then I find myself that I'm faithful and I'm dependable and I'm usable, I'm accountable, I'm teachable. And because these gifts are a gift of the Holy Spirit, they are best used when I intentionally cooperate with the Holy Spirit, when I intentionally live connected to the Holy Spirit, who will provide me counsel and direction. That's what Paul would suggest in his letter to Christ followers in an area called Galatia. You find that in his letter in chapter 5, verse 16. He would say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Because even with these special gifts, one of the things we can do is act in the flesh. And when we act in the flesh, sometimes we can hurt people rather than love them. We can be abrasive rather than serving. And one of the things, as we allow the Spirit of God to guide our lives, He will produce things in our life that help us serve and love others. The things that the Spirit of God produces in our life later in this same letter, he would say that he produces love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And that's has to flow as we use these gifts, as we love and serve each other and serve those that have yet to walk through our doors. Giving and serving in the church I love. When I love it, I'm faithful. I'm dependable. I'm accountable. I'm teachable. I'm useful. I'm also gifted. I'm gifted to serve. And the reason we do all of that is not for, for the pat on the back and, toot our own horn. Again, it comes back because of what God's done for us. The beginning of Romans 12, this reminds us to give ourselves to God because of all that He's done for us. Let our lives be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind that He finds acceptable. And this is truly the way to worship Him. Say, God, you gave me this gift. I want to use it. I want to use it in a way that you find acceptable and as an act of worship. That's why we do it. Let's pray. Lord, sometimes it's hard to imagine that you decided, being all-powerful and all-knowing and all-wise, that you would include flawed individuals like us to help in your kingdom work. And yet that's your plan. There's no plan B. As we choose intentionally to become followers of Jesus Christ, the call is to be like Him. And then the call is to invite others to do that as well. And so I pray that in this household of faith that some of us have come to love because we love those who are here, that love that we have for one another would be so compelling that others who walk through our doors would want to experience that in their lives as well. because of what you've done for us. And that we might be able to share that and exhibit that same kind of love, even to one another and to those that still live far from you. So in humility, help us to be able to do the things that you've gifted us and equipped us to do. And do them in a way that you would find acceptable. Would help make a difference in others' lives. That's my prayer this morning in Jesus' name.